But I appreciate this opportunity to preach this youth rally. And been having a good revival here at those staffs. And last night was a wonderful altar service. The Lord just come by and touched and helped. And so I appreciate that. If you have your Bibles tonight, I want you to be turning to the book of Genesis. I'm going to start there and try to wind up somewhere between there and Revelation. We got quiet, didn't you? I'm just kidding, all right? And we're going to start here in Genesis and read the text here. This past summer, I preached 7 youth camps. And before the start of the summer, I was seeking the Lord about something that would be helpful to this generation.
Right.
And felt the Lord lay this message on my heart. And it's not the first time I preached it.
How long?
I preached it every youth camp I went to. But in getting there, I wrestled with this all day long because I hope this will fit here tonight.
Hope the Lord.
And, but I do want to preach this message to you tonight. The Lord will help me. And in Genesis chapter number 38, and then I'm going to go over to chapter number 41. Start here in chapter 38. Verse number 23. This is the story of Joseph here in the Word of God. Verse number 23 says, "And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him. For he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchant men, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt." Amen. Let's go over to chapter number 41. Chapter 41, verse 41. The Bible says, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." Now, I want to say this right here. There's been a lot of years that have transpired between chapter 38 and chapter 41. Amen. Joseph was just a very young man in chapter 38. He's still not an old man here. But there has been several years that have transpired. And Pharaoh said, let me start with him. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it up on Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, Bow to me. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Now, I want you to notice this. In chapter number 38, we read about Joseph, and we see where he's a victim of his own brethren. He's been sold as a slave in Egypt. He's a victim. But notice here in verse number 41, Joseph here, we read, is no longer the victim. Amen. But we see him stand in victory in Pharaoh's court.
Right.
He's went from being a slave, amen, to being ruler.
Right.
Amen. So I want to preach tonight that the Lord would help me on from victimized to victorious.
Right.
From victimized to victorious.
Preach it, Brother Dennis.
Now it's become very evident, young folks, in our society that everyone feels like that they are a victim. Everybody, there, it is common in our society for people to feel like that they are a victim. You know, for instance, you know, because of that attitude, there's been a lot of frivolous lawsuits that have come about because of that.
Right.
People trying to seek money because they feel like they are victims. For instance, that lady, do you think it was the first time she'd ever drank a cup of coffee when she went through that drive-thru at McDonald's?
No.
Ordered that cup of coffee and spilled it while she was driving the road, and it stalled her, and she won $1 million from McDonald's. Because of that, she felt like a victim. And now every time, it doesn't matter if you go to McDonald's and order coffee or Starbucks or anywhere you go, there's this little disclaimer on the side of the cup that says, caution, contents are hot. I'm so glad they put that on there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so helpful. I mean, so helpful.
Yeah.
Man, she felt like she was a victim.
Right.
And because of that, she came out with victory, $1 million.
Yeah.
Amen. That's not really what this is about. Listen, even those that commit heinous crimes, those that kill and murder and molest, they, whenever they're brought into trial, they want to plead, you know, innocent because of the fact that they are a victim themselves, because of the way they were treated when they were younger. Some traumatic experience they had in the past led them to this path of violent crimes. And I realize they might have been a victim in the past, but the fact of the matter is, sometimes you're going to have to stand and give an account for yourself.
Right.
Amen. But hear me, I realize that in this crazy society that we live in, there really are real victims.
Right.
Amen. Because of the wickedness of this hour, there have been many that have become real victims. Amen. You that are here in this service tonight may not realize it, but you have been victimized by the culture that we live in. Amen. But I want you to know tonight, you may have walked into this service a victim, but you can walk out of here tonight with the victory.
Right.
I want to look at the life of Joseph, and I've got a lot of preaching to do to you tonight. I trust the Lord will help me, amen, get it done in a timely manner. Amen. But I want you to notice here in the life of Joseph, there's two different places where we see him victimized. The first is the pitfalls of his family problems. Amen. Joseph was the 11th son of his father Jacob. And we read from the Word of God where he was his father's favorite son. Amen. We see that favoritism shown to Joseph by the coat of many colors that his father gave to him. He was his father's favorite. And it was because of that favoritism that was shown to him by his father that brought about this hatred from his other brothers. They hated him because of the favoritism shown to Joseph. Amen. And they finally get an opportunity where they can no longer hide this hatred in their heart anymore. Amen. They're out feeding the father's flocks, and the father Jacob sends Joseph out to check on his other brothers, and whenever he finally finds where they're at and starts walking toward them, and they recognize Joseph was coming toward them, amen, they plot to kill Joseph. Amen. That was their intent. They were going to capture him and kill him. Amen. But Reuben kind of talks them out of it for the moment, and they just throw him in the pit, and they're waiting there, and they try to figure out what they're going to do with Joseph. Amen. And all of a sudden, Judah sees these Ishmaelites coming from, they are heading toward Egypt, and he gets this bright idea. Amen. We'll sell him, make some money. Amen. He'll be a servant, a slave in Egypt, and we'll tell our father we don't know what happened to him. Amen. Sounds like a wonderful thing. They were content with it. They thought it was a wonderful plan. Amen. So here they are. Amen. For 20 measly pieces of silver, they sell their own brother as a slave into Egypt, and they don't think they'll ever have to worry about him ever again. Can you imagine the hurt there must have been in the heart of Joseph as he's riding along, walking along, amen, realizing that his brothers, the ones that should have loved him the most, the ones that should have stood by him the most, the ones that should have never turned their back on their own, amen, they are the very ones that
that have sold him as a servant in Egypt. Can you imagine the hurt there must have been in his heart? Can you imagine the confusion and the chaos there must have been in his mind as he's trying to wrestle with the fact that his brothers, the ones that should love him, are the very ones that have hated him the most. Amen. Oh, he's a victim. Amen. Of his own family problems. And I feel like there may be some here tonight in this service. Amen. You came tonight as a victim of family problems. Amen. There's some here tonight that may be dealing with the fact that you have divorced parents. Amen. We have come to the place in our society, amen, where marriage vows no longer mean till death do us part. Amen. And there are children and teenagers, amen, all across this country and even in our holiest churches that are dealing with the fact that their parents, the two most important people in their entire life, amen, no longer love each other. Amen. And no longer want to stay together. Amen. You're here tonight and you're a victim. Amen. You've watched as your mom and dad, amen, argued one with another. Amen. And it was evident they got to the place where they could not get along. And then there came that awful day whenever mom and dad decide they don't want to live in the same house anymore. Amen. They make their decision to part ways. Amen. Get their own place. Amen. Now you just see one or the other. Amen. And you never see them together. Amen. Anytime they do talk, they're arguing. Amen. Then comes that dreaded day. Amen. Whenever you realize that the divorce has been settled and mom and dad have sealed the deal, they're never going to live with each other again. And now instead of a safe, steady home life, amen, you've had to learn how to deal, amen, with parents at one house, amen, on the weekdays, and at the other parent's house on the weekends. Amen. And it's as if to add insult to injury. Amen. One parent decides that they want to show affection to somebody else. Amen. Marry somebody else and bring a stepmother or a stepfather into the situation. And you have to deal with adjusting, amen, to step relations. Amen. And your heart is hurt. Amen. You're a victim of family problems. I said, you are a victim of family problems. Amen. Because of the mistakes and the sins that have been committed by your mom and dad. Amen. You're here tonight in this church service and you are a victim. But oh, hear me tonight, my friend. Amen. There is victory for the victim. Amen. Amen. You may be here tonight and say, preacher, amen, I don't have divorced parents, but I have divided parents. Amen. There are some that have become victims because of family trouble. Amen. In a home, amen, it's not because it's divorced, but it's because it's divided. You may have one parent that's saved and another parent that's lost. You listen to me tonight? Amen. Help me, Holy Ghost, preach this the way I need to preach it. Amen. One parent may want to live a holiness life, and the other parent may want to live a loose, liberal life. Amen. There's constant fighting, amen, between mom and dad because of the situation. Amen. Mom wants you to go to the house of God. Amen. But dad is always trying to pull you, amen, toward the things of the world. You know, when you go to one parent's house, you got to keep the rules. You know, when you go to the other parent's house, amen, and whenever they're around, you can do whatever you jolly well want to. Amen. There's a constant struggle in your heart and in your mind, and you live with that thought. Amen. You live with that fear that mom and dad's going to bust up and break up and be divorced like other friends you've seen. Amen. You live in constant fear. Amen. That mom and dad will divide and divorce and go their separate ways. There's a fear in your life. Amen. Because of dividing home. Oh, hear me tonight, my friend. You're not the first person that's ever dealt with that kind of situation. Amen. There's a young lady that I know, amen, that comes from a home that was divided. Amen. It didn't start off that way. Amen. In fact, whenever she was just a child, amen, it was not a church-going family at all. Amen. The bus came by. Amen. The church bus rolled in front of their house one Sunday, picked up her and her older brother, and her first introduction to the house of God was as a bus kid, amen, going on Sunday morning. Amen. For 4 years, this young lady, amen, rode the church bus every Sunday morning. Amen. Faithful to the house of God. Amen. Ready to go to Sunday school. Amen. But after years of going alone, just her and her bigger brother. Amen. Their mom only coming, amen, on Christmas and Easter. Amen. After 4 years of living like that, amen, her dad, her mom got saved and started taking them more faithful to the house of God. Amen. But her dad never did get saved. Amen. Because of her dad's rough childhood. Amen. He grew up, amen, in an environment where there was abuse and all kinds of horrible things that occurred. Amen. He grew up to be an angry, bitter man. Amen. Because of the anger and bitterness in her father's heart. Amen. And the salvation in her mother's heart. Amen. There was a lot of strife. Amen. A lot of division and a lot of turmoil in their home. Amen. This young lady told me, amen, that there were times when she had to stand, amen, between her mother and her father because of the violent outburst of her father, the anger and the bitterness in his heart. Amen. She would have to stand in front of him, amen, before her mother and say, "Dad, I love you, but you're not going to hit on my mom. Amen. You're not going to abuse her. Amen. If you come one step closer, I'm going to call the cops and they'll take care of you." Amen. You say, "Preacher, what kind of young lady, amen, who was raised up like that?" Amen. That's my wife's story. Amen. That's the kind of home, amen, that my wife grew up in. Amen. She grew up in a divided home. And I want you to know tonight, my friend, I'm here preaching to you young people tonight. Amen. You may be from a divorced home or a divided home, and you're a victim. But I got news for you. Amen. Just take a look at my wife. Amen. And realize there is victory for the victim. Hallelujah. Amen. You can get an experience with God that will settle you and establish you in the ways of God. Amen. The church my wife grew up in before she went to the highway, amen, was a loose liberal church. In fact, before she left that church, the pastor's wife was telling her, amen, you can cut your hair, you can do what you want to do. And my wife already had such commitment in her heart and in her life and said, "Hey, it doesn't matter what they say, it doesn't matter what you say, I'm going to live for God." You may be a victim here tonight, but you can come out with victory.
Amen. Your situation, your family problems may not even be divorced parents or divided parents. You may be here tonight dealing with a departed parent. Amen. Because of some sickness or some tragedy. Amen. You're living in a single parent situation. You've made that sorrowful trip out to the graveyard and laid that loved one to rest. Amen. Now, because of your situation, your heart is in turmoil. I want you to know tonight I can identify with you. Amen. Because when I was 10 years old, amen, I still remember coming home from my school that day. My dad come home from work early that day sick, but just thought he had the flu. Amen. But there, laying on the couch that afternoon, amen, he had a massive heart attack. Amen. I can give you the vivid details. Amen. It's just like it happened yesterday. Amen. I really didn't know it at the time, but he literally died right there in front of me. Amen. Oh, God. Amen. They said when the paramedics come, amen, I was out on the sidewalk. Amen. I was hitting my fist into the ground. Amen. Say, "Oh, God, please don't take my daddy." Amen. Oh, hear me. Amen. Because of that, my mom never remarried. Amen. Still not remarried to this day. Amen. She tried to raise me and my sister. Amen. I was 10, she was 7. And mom had to go to work and start making a living for the family. Amen. Oh, hear me. Amen. There was a lot of turmoil in my own life. Amen. In my teenage years. Amen. I dealt with a lot of nerve trouble. Amen. In those times when I needed a daddy the most. Amen. 15 and 16 years old. Amen. Struggling. Amen. Trying to find my identity. Amen. Trying to find my way in life. Amen. A lot of nerve trouble. Amen. Days and nights whenever I lay on the floor. Amen. I had hair back then, as Brother Ryan said. Amen. There was nights that I would literally try to pull my hair out of my head. Amen. With nerve trouble. Amen. From that situation I was in. Amen. You hear me? Priest tonight, amen, a victim. You listen to me, a victim. I didn't ask to be there, amen. Really, if you really want to know, amen, my childhood ended when I was about 10 years old, amen. Things totally turned around in our house, and I'll just be honest with you, there were times whenever I was a teenager that I'd lay on my bed at night and I'd look up and I'd say to heaven and I'd say, "Oh,
is. Hey, brother, listen to me. I really don't have a sad story to tell you, because I want you to know tonight, my friend, every step of the way. I said every step of the way. And he was faithful. Hallelujah. Continue through the life of Joseph. We see not only is he victimized because of the pitfalls of his family problems, but we also see him victimized, amen, in the next era of his life. He goes to Potiphar's house. God's hands on him while he's at Potiphar's house. He rises in prominence until Potiphar makes him ruler over all of his house. Amen. But here, he suffers, amen, he finds out that you can become a victim because of the pressure of a flirty person.
Come on, brother.
Oh, yes. Amen, notice what happens. Amen, Potiphar's wife sets her heart and her mind, amen, to make Joseph her own. Amen, to seduce him. And she puts all kinds of pressure upon him. Amen. The scriptural record tells us that she pressures Joseph to commit adultery with her. And I want you to know tonight, young people, amen, I want the Lord to help me right here. Amen. I want you to know tonight, amen, that you are a victim because of the pressure of this perverted society. Amen. We can stick our head in the sand, amen, and just refuse to come to grips with reality. Amen. But we live in a sexually charged society. Everything that comes from Hollywood, everything that comes from the music industry, everything from the advertising world has sexual overtones to it. In fact, there are times that I literally, amen, just turn off the radio because I get sick and tired of listening to the commercials and what they're trying to advertise. You can tell what's on the heart and the minds of people in this hour. Amen. There is an onslaught, amen, against your pure mind in this generation. Amen. The pornography industry is no longer a back alley operation, but because of the internet, amen, it has become mainstream and welcome in the many homes. Amen. Brother Randy, well, my pastor said it this way: it's a sad day in our country when our harlots have become our heroes. Amen. There's more thought and more weight, amen, and more concern, amen, on what Paris Hilton, amen, Lindsay Lohan, amen, and Britney Spears is doing, amen, than what there is going on in the political realm, amen, or even in their own personal realm. Amen. Our emotions rise, amen, with the rise and the fall, amen, of Hollywood stars. Amen. But I want you to know tonight, my friend, amen, because, amen, of the pressure of this generation, our society has become consumed with lust and immorality. Amen. You can't even pick up the paper without reading about another, amen, molestation, amen, or something involving a sexual predator. Amen. Hear me tonight, my friend. That's why you must be cautious. I said, this is why you must be cautious. Amen. In the things that you entertain yourself upon. Amen. This is the reason why I felt such a burden when I preached to young people. Amen. To address the internet issue. Because hear me tonight, my friend. There are people in this world, amen, that are bent on making a victim out of you. Amen. You may say, preacher, amen, it will never happen to me. But I want you to know tonight, there are people in this world, their main interest is to make you a victim.
All right.
The Holy Ghost driving to preach you. Amen. I was listening to an interview on XM Radio, and I was listening one night to Bill O'Reilly. He was interviewing the newly crowned Miss America. Amen. I normally would have turned it off, but their topic they were discussing, amen, caught my interest because evidently her mission, her cause that she's fighting for during her reign of Miss America is to lock up these sexual predators on the internet.
And she said this, in one night they allowed her to sit on a task force in Long Island, New York. Come on, brother. Amen. She was there for an 8-hour shift. They gave her a screen name. Amen. She posed there in the chat rooms that everybody gets into. Amen. There, MySpace and Yahoo, different chat rooms she was in. Amen. She had a screen name of a 14-year-old girl. She said, within minutes of logging on to those chat rooms, she instantly began to hold conversations with men much older than herself. And she said, in many cases, it did not take long. Now, some of them, when they found out she was only 14, amen, they instantly stopped their conversation. But for those that lingered in their conversation with her, it did not take long for them to become perverted. Amen. Within minutes, she was holding conversation. And it said, in an 8-hour shift, amen, she held conversations with 7 known sexual predators.
Come on. Come on, brother. Right.
Oh, hear me tonight, my friend.
Come on.
That's the kind of society you're growing up in.
Right.
I didn't have these kind of pressures. And oh yes, every generation has their battles. Amen. But I want you to know tonight, I mentioned the other day to somebody, I said, if some of the old time preachers that have already gone on before, like Brother Claude Healy, amen, knew what we were having to preach about from behind our pulpits, they probably rolled over in their grave. Amen. I would have never dreamed just 10, 12, 15 years ago that I would be put in a position where I would have to handle these kind of topics among young people. Oh, hear me tonight, my friend. The problem is because, amen, of this perverted society. There may be somebody even in this service tonight that has become the victim of sexual abuse. Amen, we can say it doesn't happen in the homeless church, but I'm here to tell you I know it happens. Amen, 3 different young ladies that grew up in my youth group, amen, were victims of sexual abuse. 2 by somebody, amen, in a church. Amen, another by their own uncle. Come on now. Amen, it does happen. And you may be here tonight and you're a victim. Amen, you've been taken advantage of in an improper way by somebody you know. Amen, but hear me tonight. Amen, because of that horrible incident. Amen, you may be in this service tonight. Amen, you're dealing with the shame that it's brought. Amen, you wished it would have never happened. Amen. You've never told anybody about it. Amen. You deal with emotional problems because of it. Amen. It's even affected you socially until it's hard for you, amen, to mix and socialize. Amen. In mixed company. Amen. You may have even experienced bouts of depression.
Come on. Come on,
brother.
Preacher, brother. Blessing.
And even suicidal thoughts have crossed your mind.
Come on, brother.
I want you to know right. Amen. We hear this preacher tonight.
Come on, brother.
It's not your fault.
Right.
Oh, I know how the mind works. And you may say, oh, I've just done things so different. Hear me, you're not to blame. Amen. You're the victim in the matter. Amen. But I want to tell you something. Amen. Jesus knows how to help you. Because I read in the book of Isaiah where it says the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto me. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open the prison to them that are bound. And later he says, and it's appointed to them that mourn and sigh, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Oh, hear me tonight, my friend. There's a way out of that. I said, you may be a victim of your perverted society, but you can get victory in your heart, in your mind. The only way you're victimized in this perverted society, you become a victim simply because society is putting pressure on you to act and dress in a certain way as to identify with their values. Oh, let me say it again. The design of the clothes that this world puts out, the subject material of their movies and their music, are all pointing and promoting to an immoral lifestyle.
Right.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Oh, help me, Holy Ghost.
Come on.
Thank you.
I want to ask you a question tonight. I really need the Lord to help me get through this.
That's your good brother.
Amen. I didn't time, and listen, I realize I might have touched on a few of these things the last time I preached one of your new things.
But
here I am again.
Amen.
Amen. I want to know, why does Hollywood have such influence on your life anyway?
Right.
Why? Now think about this. Why in a holiness church does Hollywood have so much influence?
Right.
Is it because we've made too big of a place in our hearts and our homes for it?
Come on.
You would think, after all the holiness preaching that you've heard, we've heard, that we'd ought to have the TV issue settled. But how many knows it's not settled? There was a day when I thought we had the movie issue settled, but because of the ease of DVDs, and you don't even have to have a TV to watch one of them now, amen, movies have come right back in the houses, amen, of homeless people. But listen to me, I don't care if it's at the movie house or it's in your house, you have no business watching what Hollywood puts out.
Well,
it's getting quiet in here now. Amen. Oh yeah, I realize the influence it has, because it's evident. Amen. When our young ladies and our young men, now listen, I realize that you want to be trendy, and I have really no problem with being trendy. Amen. As long as you do not have to compromise the standard of God's word, amen, to be trendy. If you have to be immodest to be trendy, then that's when it gets into sin.
Come on.
Well, hallelujah. Now listen to me. Amen. Whenever you try to mimic the way they dress and the way they talk and the way they act, amen, hear me, my friend, Hollywood has too much influence in your life. And there's one question that's been on my heart and on my mind all summer long. Amen. Whenever I've watched our young people, amen, bow into our tabernacles, amen, it looks like some of our young ladies look more like prostitutes than they do, amen, women professing godliness. Amen. I want to know, amen, who buys the clothes? Hallelujah. When 12 and 13 and 14 year old girls look like streetwalkers, I want to ask you mamas and daddies a question. Amen. Did they happen just to catch you not looking? Amen. Swipe the credit card from your purse, mama. Amen. Steal the keys from the family car, daddy. Amen. Sneak out of the driveway. Amen. Drive down to the mall. Amen. Buy those clothes, bring them back. Do they do all their laundry? Amen. So you never know what's going on in their life and in their bedrooms. Amen. I want to know who sanctions the clothes. Amen. Who's the one that puts their approval on it? Amen. It's a sad fact that we've got a lot of mamas with Jezebel hearts and a lot of daddies with Ahab spies that aren't willing to take a stand in their own family and say, listen, we're going to live for God. Amen. We're all come on now. Amen. We're going to serve God in the beauty of holiness. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Hear me tonight, my friend. Amen. The fact of the matter is, when you become lax in your modesty, you become loose in your morals. I said, when you become lax in your modesty, you become loose in your morals. And the fact of the matter is, we have a generation growing up in the holiest church that has no moral compass in their life.
Come on.
I want you to know tonight, immorality and fornication is still sin.
Still.
I want to ask you young men a question. Why do you allow your conversations to drift into areas that are not pure and not holy? Oh, hallelujah.
Come on.
Amen. When your conversation and joking consist of immoral and lustful things, it reveals the true condition of your heart. Amen. Jesus said, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Whenever your whole conversation is set on impure things, it lets me know where your heart is. Hallelujah. But not only your conversation, but what about your conduct? The way you conduct yourself, amen, on your dates when you're out with the other young people. Amen. Now listen, you know my philosophy. I've said it lots of times. Amen. And I'm just kidding. Amen. In some ways. Amen. But really, I think you ought to be able to pick a president, amen, before you can pick a dame. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
All right. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Amen.
When you get old enough to pick the prayers, then you can pick a day. All right? Ah, hallelujah. Smile at me now. Your daddy's already shouting hallelujah right now. Oh, glory to God. But I want you to know, amen, you need to remember, amen, that there's an all-seeing eye, amen, that goes with you everywhere you go. Do you realize that Paul, amen, wrote to Timothy, I believe it was, and gave him instructions on his relationships. Amen. He said, treat the older women like they were your mother. Amen. Treat the younger women like they were your sister. Oh, hallelujah. That doesn't mean fuss and fight and slap them on the head. Amen. Call them dorks and everything else. All right? Hey, amen. But when you're out on a date, you act with that young lady like she was your sister. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hey, amen. This world has pressured this generation into thinking, amen, that they have to act a certain way, that kissing and making out is normal behavior for young people. Amen. But hear me, that is not normal behavior for holiness young people. Hey. Amen. Throughout the Word of God, sexual activity has been condemned. Between young men and young women, it's wrong. Amen. Any, you say, what is sexual activity? It's any intimate physical contact between male and female. That is sexual activity. Amen. What is intimate physical contact? Amen. Such as hugging, kissing, caressing, and anything beyond. Intimate physical contact. Sexual activity. When you put it in that light, it doesn't seem near as innocent, does it?
Right.
You said, preacher, why are you preaching like this? I'll tell you why.
Bless
you. I've watched too many shipwrecks. And the fact of the matter is, these young people, and your mom and dads may not want to admit this. And I don't mean to offend you young people right now. But we are dealing with a generation of young people that has more knowledge than any generation has. They are more worldly wise than any generation ever had. My wife, this has been 7 years ago when she was still teaching in a public school, but she had the freshman science class when those kids would come in. Hey, when they would describe and talk about things that proved that they had experience in what they were talking about. And it was things that was unheard of. Amen. Listen now. Amen. A few generations ago, amen, married adults did not even talk that way.
Right.
Oh, come on now. But here's the problem. You have more knowledge than any generation has. Now, don't fall out with me here. Amen. But really, we're looking at a generation that has less maturity on how to handle that knowledge.
You
may not agree with that. I don't mean that as a derogatory way towards you young people. But hear me. That's why you need to listen to the preacher. I said, that's why you need to listen to the man of God as he preaches and tells you. Amen. Check and be careful on the way you conduct yourself. Amen. When you're dealing with members of the opposite sex. I want you to notice not only the pressure of this perverted society, but look at the principle of the pure servant of Joseph here. Amen. He had principle in his life. Notice his refusal. Amen. He says, there's none greater in this house than I, and he's not kept back anything from me except you. Amen. But how can I sin and do this great wickedness against God? Amen. There was something in the character of Joseph, even when it looked like nobody else would know, and nobody else would find out. Amen. Nobody would be the wiser. Amen. There was still character and conviction in his life that told him it would not please God. And so he refuses. But not only did he refuse, amen, when she laid hold on him, the Bible said that he ran. Amen. He fled from her. He left his garment in his hand and fled for her. The only effective remedy for some situations is to get up and get out. Amen. I said the only effective remedy. Amen. That's why Paul wrote to the young preacher and said, flee youthful lust. And then a place he said, flee fornication. Amen. Hear me tonight.
young people, if you find yourself, young lady, in a relationship, and where there's constantly pressure being placed upon you, remove yourself from the situation. If you're hooked up with a young man, amen, that is asking more of you than he should ever ask, amen, you do this and tell him, Brother Dennis said he, you could, amen, slap him across the face, get out of the situation, and run home and tell your dad what he tried to do.
Young man, if you find yourself in a relationship with a young lady and can't keep her hands off of you,
come on.
Drop her like a bad habit,
right,
and run the other direction. There's some things in life that's worth more than rejection. There's some things worth than being all by yourself.
Come on.
My pastor gave me a lot of advice about my dating life when I was growing up, because I had a call of God on my life. If you're here tonight with a call of God on your life, you need to understand something. You're not like everybody else.
Right.
You're going to have to live your life to a higher standard.
Right.
My pastor told me this. He said, listen, it'd be better to be single and wishing you were married than to be married wishing you were single.
Yeah. Right.
Come on. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
We live in a high pressure society.
Right. Yeah.
I ain't getting this across to you like I need to tonight. But here in this text, I've read to you where he is a victim from the pitfalls of his family problems. He's a victim because of the pressure of a flirty person. But oh, in the end,
yes,
we read about the promotion of a faithful Christian.
Right.
In the next scene of Joseph's real life drama, we see him in a prison. Locked up. Amen. All because he stood for what was right. He did what was right. And it looks like now he's suffering because of standing for what was right. He's in a prison. But hear me. Amen. It's in that prison where we read time and again, the Lord was with Joseph. Amen. That statement is proven in the fact that God takes this prison and makes it a promotion. Hallelujah. And I got news for you. That's the whole God is the only one that can make a prison into a promotion. Amen. Notice Joseph's commitment. Amen. It did not matter where he was at. It doesn't matter how much hurts had been inflicted upon him. He was committed to God in every way. And hear me tonight, young people. If you're going to stand the test of time in this generation, your commitment has to be on God. Amen. You must be committed to Him in every area of your life. Amen. Everything must be committed to God. Amen. Joseph's values did not change because he was in Egypt. Amen. His commitment was on God. Hallelujah. I said, just because he was in Egypt, just because daddy wasn't around and mama wasn't around and the preacher wasn't around, it did not change the fact that he was committed to God. And he said, I'm going to live for God. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. But hear me. Not only do I see Joseph's commitment, but I see Joseph's compensation. Amen. Because of his commitment to God. Amen. He interprets a dream of Pharaoh. Amen. By the hand of God. Amen. Oh, hear me. Amen. Pharaoh opens up the kingdom and makes him ruler. Amen. He's second command in all of Egypt. Amen. Hear me. God took what was meant to hurt Joseph and turned it into something that was helpful for the work of God. He did not realize it at the time, but his family, his entire family, including his dad, he never thought he would see again. Amen. Was the beneficiary of the fact that Joseph kept his commitment on God. And hear me tonight, my friend. You know how you're going to stand? I said, you know how you're going to stand in victory when the dust settles and the smoke clears in this wicked generation? It's going to be the fact that you've committed yourself to God. You're not wavering in your commitment. Amen. You've not been wishy-washy in and out. Just hear me, my friend. We're living in a generation where that will not cut it. Amen. You're going to have a commitment that is centered and focused on God.
Amen.
I see in Joseph's experience that it was turbulent at times. He's been a victim in the pit. He's been a victim at Potiphar's house.
Now he's in the prison. Amen. But I also see that his experience has been triumphant. Because now he stands in the palace.
Yes, right.
Whew. I'm almost done.
Come on.
Don't shout amen right now. It hurt my feelings. Wouldn't you like to get victory tonight? I said, wouldn't you like to get victory tonight?
Come on.
Wouldn't you like to come out on top? Amen. With victory in your heart. Living for God. No matter what the devil says. No matter what your friends say. No matter what this generation says. Oh, hallelujah. How can I do it, preacher? Amen. Set your heart on God.
Right.
Amen. Commit to Him. Sell out to God. Amen. Do you know that Joseph is not the only victim in the Word of God that we read about?
Right.
No, he's not. Amen. There's other victims in the Word of God, but one that stands out in my mind. Amen. A man that was a victim. Amen. The first time we see him as a victim, amen, it's in the betrayal of a close friend. A man that he's invested time in. One that he's took close to him. Amen. And brought him through. Amen. 3 years of ministry alongside him. Amen. We see where he's a victim of his friend. Amen. That kiss of betrayal on Jesus' cheek.
Right.
Amen. By the hand of Judas. Amen. Was a victimizing moment in the heart and the life of Jesus. Amen. But that's not the only time he's a victim. Amen. We see him victimized in front of the religious leaders of the day.
Right.
Amen. They hold their kangaroo court. Amen. They make a mockery of him. Amen. They sentence him to death. Amen. He's a victim of the religious leaders of his day. Amen. Also, he's a victim, amen, of the political scene of the day, the political leaders of the day. Amen. He's brought before Pilate. He's brought before Herod. Amen. They both make a mockery of Christ. Amen. They scourge him. Amen. They place a crown of thorns on him. Amen. They put a scarlet robe on him and cry out, King of the Jews. Amen. As a mockery to the Son of God. He's a victim by the political realm of that day. Amen. We see where they take him out to Calvary. Amen. They nail him to an old rugged cross. Amen. They suspend him between heaven and earth. Amen. The crowds come and ridicule and mock him. Amen. Cry out, if you are the Son of God, amen, save yourself and us. Amen. Come down to that cross. Amen. Oh, hear me. He's a victim. A victim. Amen. Oh, I said he's a victim. Amen. Beyond any other man. Amen. He's been beaten beyond recognition. Amen. He's been criticized, ridiculed. Now he's dying on a tree. Amen. As we see there. Amen. As the sun sets on the cross. Amen. We see as it comes. Amen. They pierce him in the side. Amen. Blood and water just for. Amen. They bring him down out of the cross. Off the cross. They place him in a borrowed tomb. Amen. And on Friday, amen, we look at the life of Jesus and we say he has been victimized. But how many knows that's not the end of the story? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. On Saturday, amen, it still looks like he's a victim. Amen. He's nowhere to be found. Amen. He's still in the tomb. Amen. The Roman soldiers are still watching. Amen. His disciples are in a crowded room. Amen. Fearful for their life. Amen. Wondering what in the world's going to happen now. Amen. On Saturday, he's still a victim. Amen. But I got news for you. On Sunday morning, amen, he's no longer a victim. Amen. But he comes out of the grave with victory. Hallelujah. He arose victorious over death and the grave. And bring him here tonight because he was a victim, but he came out with victory. Amen. You can leave this house tonight. Amen. Victory in your soul by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Because the grave could not hold him. Amen. Guilt cannot hold you. Amen. Because the tomb couldn't keep me. A tormenting mind cannot keep you. But I'm here to declare to you on this Friday night. Amen. You may have walked in a victim, but God wants to leave you. Leave here with the victory.
Right.
And all over the house, raise your hands. Ask God to have his way right here. Oh, God. Brother Doug Cornett and myself are preaching the St. Paul the Youth Camp back in June. And I preached this message the very first night of that youth camp. And there was a young man there, about 14 years old, blonde hair, blue-eyed boy.
fine looking fella. But I noticed as I preached that night and about Victor's family problems, his heart broke, he began to cry. His name was Brandon. Brandon come that night to the altar and just prayed and cried and wept. Brother Smith and Brother Parks both told me his story. Amen. He was a victim. His mom and dad started out their marriage in a Holiness church and took Brandon to church as a young boy to a Holiness church up there in Tulsa. They backslid on God, left the house of God, got hooked on drugs, and eventually their home busted up. Brandon's daddy left and just walked out on him. Never had anything more to do with him. Mom married again. Only time Brandon got to go to church was somebody thought enough to go by and pick him up and carry him to church. Amen. I watched as he wept and cried on that first night of youth camp. Second night of youth camp, he got in that night in a wonderful way. Lifted his hands up, began to worship God. How God fell on him, slayed him out on the floor. I watched as Brandon prayed all the way through with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. A victim. Get the victory. Oh, but that's not the end of the story. Amen. On the last night of that youth camp, I preached a message on hell, what the people in hell would like to tell. As I preached that night, I noticed there was two ladies. One was obviously older than the other. I assume probably the mother. Amen. They were not church-going ladies by their appearance. It was evident that they knew God. And that night as I came to the close, the conviction fell in that service. And I went to make my altar call. There wasn't a lot of pulling that night. Conviction there in a wonderful way. And I watched as a young lady stepped across the aisle to the end there where that older lady was sitting. She just said a couple statements to her. I still don't know what she said, but that lady with tears in her eyes got up and started walking down the aisle. I assume by the reaction that came from that, she must have been a backslider because there were several of those homeless ladies there that gathered around her, began to pray as obvious they knew her. There's about three or four others that responded that night. We was having a wonderful altar service. And I was up on the platform exerting. Amen. But I was exhorting them to really pray through. Let's get victory in this altar and see people get delivered from sin. Right. And I walked over on the girl's side and getting ready to walk back toward the boy's side. And I hadn't noticed until now, Brother Brian, but Brandon was leaning up against one of those poles up there at the Sepulchre Tabernacle. Over there on the women's side, he was just crying, tears running down his cheek. I said, but he stopped me and grabbed hold of my arm. I stopped what I was saying, looked at him and said, "What's wrong, Brad?" He said, "That's my mom."
Yeah. Praise God. Right. Praise God. Praise the Lord.
A victim that found out their victory.
Yeah, that's right.
You listen to me. It doesn't matter what the devil's pulling in your heart and in your life. I wish I had a praising church out here tonight. Just stretch your hands toward heaven and ask God to help us. I feel like we need an altar service in this place.